Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in on tonight, this Monday night, July the 16th, 2018. We're so happy to be in conference with you all via web, via internet, or via telephone. However, we're getting the message across to you all on tonight. I would like to say that I am Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser, which we are the hosts for your Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries of Smile 3E, which we come to you every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We would like to proceed with the program on tonight, which we would be coming to you all with just communicating and conversating about things that we have experienced in life and the way we grew up in a Christian household. But before we get into all of that, I would like to ask Minister Kaiser, Sheila Kaiser, to lead us in a small, short prayer before we get into bringing the word to you tonight. Minister Sheila, are you prepared and ready to pray with us and for us?
Good evening, everyone, and start off again with saying thank you, thank you, thank you, our Heavenly Father God and the Son, Lord Christ Jesus, because without you we would not be here, we would not have another day of life to joy and to enjoy the life of you with love and kindness and joy. To be able to still walk the earth, breathe, and to see the greatness that you have done through our lives. Father, we look upon you this day. Thank you for blessing us for another Monday to worship and to praise your name and to speak the word that you have given us. We thank you for another day that we are here with life to love and to cherish each other. Thank you for our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our sons, our daughters, our grandkids. I thank you for Apostle Sandra Thomas and her family, Apostle Elect Cecilia, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. Thank you for Pastor Troy Thomas and Prophetess Antoine Thomas, Dr. Serena Wright, we thank you, with Elder Kendall. Thank you with Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and to also myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser. Lord, I ask you to bless us all. Bless the ones that I did mention, the ones I did mention, the ones I know and I don't know. I look over to you to say thank you. I cannot thank you enough, because without you, I would not be here to participate into this program. Lord, look over the world. Bless our young kids, our young men and women that's growing up, that is our tomorrow, to teach them and to understand life with you is nothing. They need you in their life to show them and to teach them the way to understand. We ask you to send your angels to the ones that don't have no one in their life to teach them about you, to understand the life is only with you. The best possibility of having life is with you, through you, and understanding and worshiping you. Lord, I ask you to bless us all, this government, the world, the elderly. I just ask you to bless us all, every living thing that you have brought upon this earth. I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Sylvia, Minister Sylvia Kaiser.
Thank you so much for that, Minister Sheila. Okay, I'm going to first ask everyone that's listening to touch and agree with us as we go before God, asking him to forgive us of every sin willingly, knowingly, that we are aware of and unaware of, because we want God to minister to us tonight. We want God and his angels to hear what we're saying, and we want them to be able to come back in our hearts and let teach us how to receive their word, teach us how to listen for the voice of God. So on tonight, I had asked my sisters earlier if it would be possible for us to speak on tonight, because this is the third Monday of the month. Prophet Antoine Prophet Antoine Thomas will be our speaker next week, not unless God have called something else to come to pass. But as for right now, this will be normally the third Monday of the month with Apostle Sandra Thomas would be our speaker, but with her being out right now, we're standing in the gap for her. So I asked them if we can speak on what it was like growing up in a house where there were two parents, a man and a woman. They were married, and they were our mother and father. And my experience was all of my life, I never know my mother to be nothing but my mom, saved and sanctified, and my dad's wife, Miss Kaiser. I never known her to be anything else but that. I never known her to be a party girl or a party lady or going out, not unless she went out where it was family events, where she used to take us to Riverview, which was a music park in the city of Chicago when we were kids, or we would go to the Bel Air Drive-In, when she wasn't with us, our mother was at church. And if I needed to find my mother, I knew if she wasn't at home, she was at work, and if she wasn't at work at home, she was at church. But we would be with her at church, that would be. And I remember once when me and my sister, Apostle Alexa Siakai, we were children, my mother worked at this costume jewelry place. And I remember being at work with her one day, and the boss had allowed us to put some jewelry together so that we would not be in the way. We would, you know, not be where we would be getting into stuff. Because, you know, my mom didn't believe in letting us stay home by ourselves, and she didn't believe in leaving us with anyone other than our aunt. We called her Aunt Sweetie. We only had certain people our mom would let us be with during the time of, like, we would call babysitting, because my mom knew the importance of guarding your house and guarding your children, especially when you have girls. You know, nowadays, you know, we know it's about girls and boys. It doesn't have nothing of a matter of what you need to be considerate more so for the one than the other. Both kids are important, that you should be bothered with being concerned about both of them. But at our time, we were little girls. So my mom knew the importance of keeping her eye and keeping her girls in a facility, where she could get to them right away if need be. So I remember being in this place, and we were making jewelry. And I remember my mom always teaching us that a woman should always protect her pocketbook, which is what they called it, which was your private area. She would always teach us how to sit with our legs closed. She would always teach us that we should know when to be quiet, even though I was a loud kid. But my mother would always try to teach me of how to be quiet and just mind myself. And she definitely taught us about the house of God. She taught us that in the Word, He told us how to keep our feet. She told us that we shouldn't walk when prayer was going on. We shouldn't walk when the man of God was up leading, or the woman of God, the missionary, was up leading a service in church. She taught us how to reverence God, reverence His word, and she taught us how to respect the house of God. She taught us how to love the Lord, love His word. She would always tell us, you know, like some people would tell their kids stories about, like, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. When Jack fell down and broke his crown, you know, Jill came coming after. My mom, most people tell their kids that, but my mom told us stories about the children that made fun of the prophet and how the bear came out the woods. And she would tell us stories of how we need to reverence, you know, the word of the first promise that God gave children about Exodus 20 and 12, to honor thy mother and thy father. My mom taught us the words of the Bible, and she taught us on a level that we were able to understand. And I remember just the times that she spent with us, and she would teach us, you know, she would teach us how to sing songs like Trouble in My Way. I remember those things that my mom did, that we got the word in us. So when we were children, we used to ask her, or we could just say, beg her to say, Mom, please tell us about the story of the children when they made fun of the man of God and what happened. And she would tell us about it. And that way she would just really go into telling us verses of the Bible. She would teach us about the Bible. I remember how my mom used to teach us how to pray for one another, how to pray for her and how she would pray for us. I remember, you know, my dad not being saved. And I remember one time asking my mom a question about why was he with my dad and he wasn't saved. And my mom was beginning to tell me about the Bible when it said the unbelieving husband was sanctified by the believing wife and vice versa. I remember no matter how we were, you know, we were children. You know how children always try to catch you up and see if you know this, you know that. But I don't care what we ask our mom about situations of life or the Bible, she was always able to tell us something that we could understand with the word of God. She was always, and then not only would tell us, she was able to tell us where it was at. I remember having those special moments with my mom. I remember how my friends used to laugh and talk and call our mom a holy roller and talk about her with her dresses hanging low and my Aunt Sweetie with her dresses hanging low and how they didn't wear makeup. And our friends would laugh and say they would be talking in tongues and all that stuff. And I remember at one time, I was a child, teenager at some of this time, I remember calling myself being embarrassed. I know y'all heard me. Yes, I called myself being embarrassed. And I had friends who, they mama seemed cool and stuff like that. And, you know, not realizing they didn't have a mother and a father, or they had a mom, but they or their dad wasn't around, or whatever the situation was. But just knowing that they had a mom, I thought was cool. I thought that was the greatest thing to be. But then one day I remember talking to God about, well, God, why you put me in a family that all we do is go to church, go to school, go to church, go to school, go to church. That's all we do, Lord. That's all we do. I remember asking God that. And so the way God answered me, I had a friend. We were going on a school trip. And I remember my sister, Apostle Alexa Cecilia, we were so close in age and we were so close together. We were in the same grade in school that when we wanted to go on school trips or anything, my mom had to not just pay for one, but pay for two kids and give lunches for two kids and give money to be able to enjoy ourselves for two kids, not thinking, because I didn't have enough sense to realize we was P.O. We was P.O. I didn't even realize that, because there was nothing that God didn't bless my mother and father with that we didn't want. If we couldn't get it right then and there, they made it happen for us. And I didn't even realize that we were P.O. But back to what I was saying, I remember we had to pay for a school trip. And my friend, I don't want to say her name, she said, Sylvia, come go with me because I have to get my money for the school trip from my mom. And $1.50 don't seem like a lot now, but back then $1.50, $1.75 was a lot of money when we was growing up, going on these school trips. So I said, okay, let's go get the money. So I figured where they stayed at, we was going to go to her house. But we didn't go to her house. We ended up walking down another block, and I was like, well, where are we going on this block? And I said, well, where are we going to? She said, I got to go get this money for my mom. And as we walked close and close, I said, well, ain't nothing down here but two taverns. Why are we going this way? I said, well, maybe her mama working there or something. I didn't know. But when we got down to the place and we walked in and I didn't see her mother and she didn't see her mother, and she kind of dropped her head and say, wait a minute. Then she walked to the end of the bar, said something to the man, and he was leaning on the bar, and he motioned his head like that way, you know, to the side. And when she went down there, I saw her stoop down on the side of the bar. So me being nosy like I am, I went down there, and I looked at her behind the bar, and I saw her mama laying on the floor, sloppy drunk, and this is early in the daytime, before lunch. And I looked at her with a look on my face where I said, when we got outside the place, I said, don't you ever in your life talk about my mama again. I started shouting in the street. I said, I don't care about my mama being called a holy roller, a tongue talker, and everything else that you all could call her. This way I know where my mama at. I know how my mama look, and I know the way my mama acts. And from that day, I was never embarrassed again to be called a church kid, a church lady kid, or a daughter of a holy roller. And I said all that to say, when my friend looked at me, she said, please don't tell nobody. But I looked at her because I realized then I wasn't just different. I was blessed because my mother could have been the same way. But I thank God from that day to this day for giving me a holy rolling mama. Gave me a mama that talked the word of God, taught the word of God. I mean, taught the word of God to us, taught us to fear God, to love God, to respect God. And if we didn't have nothing in my house, we had the love of God in our house. My mother taught us how to pray and trust and depend on God, and taught us how not to, test God, give God ultimatums, tell God to prove himself. My mother taught us that. She said God is God no matter if he don't do it. He's still God. If he decide he want to do it, he's God. If he don't do it or don't answer you, he's still God. And what you going to do about it? I thank God for that type of mother. I thank God for that type of house. I thank God that when we wanted to dress up, as we said in our Soul Train clothes back in the day, we couldn't do that in front of our parents. We had to put on regular clothes that what they called regular. And then if we wanted to wear that stuff, we had to have it under our clothes when we walked out the door. He said, come on now, let's be honest. Y'all know we thought we was slick, thought we was cool, thought we knew what we was doing. Our parents were strict on us even up until our 30s, until they left this world. It was certain things we was not going to do, we was not going to say, and it was a way we was not going to act in front of our parents. Their favorite saying was, I brought you in this world, I will take you out. I don't know how many of you all had parents like that, but I thank God for my parents like that. Even with my dad, that was not what we call saved, but my daddy even knew how to reverence God and how to respect God. I thank God for a mother that no matter what we did or what we asked her, she always told us, go ask your dad. See what he say. And we would run up there and ask him, and he would say, ask your mom, whatever she say. And when we run back to our mom, she would say again, what did your daddy say? Well, mama, he said no, then that's it. Or mama, he said whatever you say. I said whatever he said. So we knew that we couldn't play no games. If my daddy and mama wouldn't be in the same room, they already had an understanding that he was the man of the house and she was the woman of the house. And we were the kids in the house, and we had to respect our parents. They taught us that. They taught us do not be getting grown folks' business. If you see an adult talking, you better not walk up and stand up or run up and say, hey, you better say excuse me and wait for them to acknowledge you if and when they do. And when they called you, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And what better not be no how, what, I guess. Them was fighting words, and I don't mean your end of the fight. You got knocked down, knocked out, and that was it. You can like it or you didn't like it, but you knew how to act at 3511. You knew how to act in the Kaiser's household. So that's what I have to say right now. I'm going to ask my sister, Minister Sheila, some of her memories about growing up in a sanctified house with her, both our parents.
Oh, that was so true, so true, so true. As you said, we thought we had the strictest parents that didn't let us do this, didn't let us go here, but didn't let us do this. But after we learned, we worshiped them. Because I thank them, and I know my other sisters, we thank them daily. For if they did just let us rip and run like so many others did, where will we be today? How will we be today? To talk back to your parents as these kids do today, I tell them like this, we wouldn't have no teeth, as y'all call them, no teeth, head once at it. Before you know, you didn't wonder how you got down on the floor. With no disrespect in our house, you ask your parents a question. They're going to answer you truthfully. My mom going to ask you, why is this question important? What does it mean to you? Why are you asking? But some of the questions we might ask because of somebody else, she'll just tell you it's not appropriate for you. It's not for you. The way the kids are today, I thank the Lord. Oh, I thank him so much for the mother and the father that I had. You had to respect and to honor. As Minister Sylvia said, when grown people are talking, you didn't have no emergency, you waited. If you just had to have an answer, you stood back in the background like they say you would do in church. You would hold that one finger up above your head and say, excuse me, can I please ask you a question, or may I ask you a question? You gave them honor and respect. Back then, it's like your parents respected you. They treated you like the child you're supposed to have always been. Today's children is just so rude, so out of line. So many are not. Many are not, but so many are. You don't honor your parents. You don't respect your parents. My mom, people used to laugh at us. We couldn't go off their front porch. But the thing it is, we had parents that honored us, treasured us, and wanted nothing but safety for us. It's like we had to ask permission. It didn't mean nothing to us after we learned that the realness was you worship and you honored your parents because you wanted the truth, true way of living. And through God, he have blessed us with the parents. But our mother used to sit and talk and read the Bible to us. She used to sing to us. Had us to understand. She used to always tell us, I've been where you're trying to go. Don't rush to get there. And today I still tell her, thank you. Because with the upbringing, the way she taught us, the things she said to us, the way she raised us, is such a blessing. As she said, the kids used to laugh at us. A while when we turned around, but so many after they paid attention, they even joined in to the family. They looked at us and said, your mother is so good. Your mother is that. Because as Minister Sylvia said, we knew where our parents were. We knew how to talk, how to behave, and not misuse the goodness that the Lord had blessed us through our parents. And it was a blessing But my mom, she take us to work. Like to say, her boss gave us a little job. Let us make a jewelry. Let us help do this, because the thing it is, we were well-mannered, behaving children. And it's one thing our mom did. She didn't let us out of her sight. She didn't let us just stay with any and everybody. It's just that the Lord blessed us with a mother that can take her kids wherever she went. Whatever job she had, we was there. When we wanted things, all she would say, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Just give us a little time. And a few times I used to hear her say, let us pray on it. Because everything you want is not for what you really need to have. You don't get everything you want just because you want it. A lot of us want things just because we see somebody else with it. But I thank God for when she did say anything. We did not disrespect her or my father. When they talked, we listened. We ain't hollering, yeah, right, whatever, because, excuse me, that was totally so disrespectful. And I thank the Lord for blessing us with Lula Seabury Kaiser and Mr. Hudie Kaiser, the parents that taught us how to be real. Over to you, Prophet-elect Cecilia Kaiser.
I believe Cecilia Kaiser, Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, is not available at this time. But as we were saying, I remember how growing up at our house, our mother taught us the greatest thing you could have was the love of God.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now, Apostle-elect. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to start off a little differently. Genesis 6 and 18 says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. Exodus 12, 26 and 27 says, and when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you, then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who has passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. Deuteronomy 6 through 7 says, these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts, and impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Job 1, 4 through 5 says, and his sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Psalms 103 and 17 says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Proverbs 26 and 6, Minister Sylvia was talking about this earlier. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Isaiah 44 and 3 says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. And then we have Jeremiah 31:16-17 says, this is why the Lord says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the evil, so there is hope in your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own land. Joel 2:28 says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And then Acts 16:31 says, they replied, believe the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, Minister Sylvia talked about this earlier, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not aspirate your children. Instead, bring them up in a training and an instruction of the Lord. So our mother brought us up in the training and the instructions of the Lord and what the Bible said. Our father brought us up as a disciplinarian, as a man that wore the pants. Him and my mother both wore physical pants, but when it came to the respect and the honor of letting the man be the man, my mother knew how to honor my father as the man of the house. We didn't see what a lot of people saw, where the woman was manipulating her husband through sexual favors and things of that sort. We saw a mother that respected her husband. She had wisdom. She knew how to pray for him. She knew how to worship God. And when he was doing all types of manner of whatever he was doing, if he was mad or, as they would say, tripping, she would be singing songs of Zion. She would be reading her Bible. She would go into a worship, and all of a sudden it seems like the fear of God would come on our dad, and that he would basically bring in the checkbook, whatever she wanted. She had it because she just knew, no, she was not going to have a conversation with the devil. She was not going to patty cake the devil. She would go straight to the throne of grace and allow God, because, see, God has control of every man's heart. And so my mother knew that. So she would go to God because she knew that God had the ability to give her favor with her own husband. And so my mother knew how to petition God for his wisdom of what to do, how to handle a man that wasn't saved, how to handle a man that was, you know, out hanging out and cheating, infidelity, drinking, smoking, whatever he was doing. She knew how, okay, I'm just going to have to trust God on this. I'm going to have to just keep on seeking God on this. And we were able to not only see a mother that knew how to pray, but she knew when to pray. And so a lot of people know how to pray, but they don't know when to pray. Sometimes they spend so much time arguing with their husbands and arguing with their wives and trying to be right. You got to know sometimes you got to give up, you know, the right to be right. And so our mother knew how to use the wisdom of God to do that. The Bible tells us how to be letting your tongue be as smooth as a dove. It tells you about learning how to build up your house instead of tear it down. It tells you about being a nagging wife. It tells the husband about how to love his wife like Christ loves the church. And so when we look at the examples of our father was definitely a disciplinarian and definitely went overboard a lot too, because I won't act like we weren't children that were beaten when maybe we could have just been talked to or something like that. So sometimes things were overdone, but it was because that was what they were taught. You have to remember, if you don't know, they were from the early 1900s, which wasn't that far from the 1800s, which was a part of the slavery mentality, the Ku Klux Klan, the Jim Crow. And so a lot of things that they were doing was not only to protect us from the crime in the neighborhood, it was to protect us from the racism and the Klansmen and the skinheads and the things of that sort. Because if you ever listen to Dr. Martin Luther King, he talked about how Chicago was one of the most racist places that you could live. A lot of people were talking about Mississippi and all of that. Well, no, he was talking about how Chicago, which was where we were from, it was like that. And so we had parents that, as my sisters were telling you, that when it was time to go to church, we went to church. And even when we were clubbing, me and my sister, we were part of different dance crews because we didn't, I mean, yeah, they taught us how to dance at church, but we knew how to dance in the club too. So we had a praying mother who prayed for us diligently, because sometimes we would be at the club and the person on our left hand or the right hand or standing directly in front of us or behind us might get shot or killed while we were there, or stabbed. But we had a praying mother who was praying for us. But we also had a dad that used wisdom. You would look up and my dad might be sitting at the bar having a drink. And so sometimes, I don't know if my mother would tell him to come and check on us, or they both would agree that he needed to come and check on us. And sometimes our mom would sit outside waiting on us the whole night. That was just how much they loved us and how much they cared for us. They didn't want us to be so, because we were adults at this time, they didn't want us to be so, like enclosed and so strict on us that we may run out there like children in a candy store. But we did. I know I did. I can't talk about what my sisters did. I know I did. I joined the military, and it was like letting me into a candy store because they were men, men, men. But I still had that conviction. I still had that teaching that my mother taught me. I was laughing with my sister, Minister Sylvie, and I told her, I said, I remember the time I put this song on my answering machine, and it was for somebody, a guy. It was for a guy. Well, the message in the song was saying whatever I needed it to say. But how many of you know that as soon as I put it on and I went to take a shower, when I came back out, who was on my voicemail? It was my mama. My mama heard the message, and the guy didn't hear the message. So immediately she talked to me, and she prayed for me, and, you know, she used wisdom. And I got that song off of that answering machine just as quick as I put it on there. I was an adult. I was away in the military. But my mom was a praying mom, and it seems like a lot of times when I was getting ready to do wrong, my mom would call me. I was just calling to check on you. The Lord placed you on my mind. And I was like, I know he did. And I meant it. I knew he did, because my mother was trying to make sure that although I was thousands and thousands of miles away, because, see, I was the youngest. So usually when you're the youngest and the one that's four riding and stuff like that, you're the one that stays home under that. But me, I wanted to get an education, and I had some goals in life, and I knew I couldn't achieve them where I was, so I wanted to just go away for a little while and then come back home. But what actually happened was, while I got out there and my mom was praying for me, I saw that I needed to mature. And so as I learned to mature, I also learned that I couldn't mature without God in my life. And so because my mother gave me the foundation of God, I knew I had to get back to God. Because my dad gave me the foundation of discipline, I knew that I would have to make sure that as a single parent that I would instill discipline in my son. Like my sisters were saying, no huh, no what. We were taught to be respectful, not only of our parents, but of other people's parents. I still say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Some people look at me like you're timid because you're always saying yes, ma'am. No, I'm not timid anymore. I used to be. I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, because that's what I was taught to do. And not only that, we give honor to whom honor is due, and we show respect because we're supposed to show respect. Many people want to receive honor. Many people want to receive respect, like a lot of the young people that disrespect their parents, but then they want their parents to respect them. But you're supposed to give out what you want to receive. You reap what you sow. So when I sow respect, when I sow honor, just like my mother taught me, she taught me love in action, not in reaction. So as I give out those things, I'm sowing honor, I'm sowing respect, I'm sowing forgiveness, I'm sowing love, I'm sowing hope, I'm sowing mercy. So guess what? That's what I should be receiving. And if I'm not receiving it, I have to ask God, am I really sowing what I think I'm sowing? Or is it something that just looks like that? Or is it that I'm not sowing it? And so when our parents sowed what they sowed in our lives, my mother sowed Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. My dad sowed protecting your family, taking care of your family. You got to grow up and learn how to be mature. My dad taught us how to allow the man to be the man. Because, see, we were some very independent girls because we played sports. We did a lot of things. And in the sports, we were a lot of times number one, number two, but whatever we were good at that sport. And so it made us a little bit more competitive, a little bit more domineering. So that meant that we had to learn to be the submissive wife that our mother showed us. Well, my sisters, they've been married before. Obviously, God is still working on me because I'm either not supposed to ever get married or I still don't know how to submit. But whatever it is, it's amazing. I'm confident and assured that my singleness and that my ability to be with God is a God-ordained thing. And so, therefore, I had to be willing to be what my mother taught me, which was a woman of God for my son, but also what my dad taught me. I had to be able to know when to ease up so that he could be the man that God called him to be. That's all I have.
Amen, amen, amen. I thank you for that, Apostle Elect, because that was truly the way we were brought up. We were brought up to fear God. We were brought up to fear our parents. Let's be honest, because at most times I see children stand toe to toe with their parents and speak to their parents a certain way or say things to their parents. I think even as kids, I was too scared my mother would read my mind because our mother was known as a seer. I remember one time going to her saying, "Mom, I need to talk to you." She said, "About what, baby?" I said, "About something I done or something I said." And she turned around and looked at me and said, "I forgave you before you did." And when she began to talk to me, and I could say now I realized it was ministered to me, my mother always knew what we were doing before we did it. Because like each one of my sisters said, our mother was always in prayer. We would hear her humming in her room. We would hear her singing in her room, how she would sing Calvary, how he died on Calvary, how when she would pray for us. And I remember my mom used to always tell us, you know, God has everything you don't want. Look to the hills for which cometh your help. She would teach us how not to put our respect in man, but we put our respect and desire and prayers in God. She would teach us how man can't put you, take you out of hell, but he can put you through hell if you allow him. But you really allowing yourself to go through that. She would always tell us that God was a God of another chance. You know, I always heard people say second chance, but my mother would tell us God is God of another chance. But when you go to him, go to him with an open heart and go to him honestly. Don't repeat yourself. She said when you go into him, repent for yourself when you go to him. And if you're not able to repent, she said, well, go to him and ask him to give you the heart to want to be saved, to want to be delivered, to want to be set free. I remember those things. I do, like my sister, Apostle Elect, was saying, and Minister Sheeta was saying, our dad was a hard man because, see, he had girls. He didn't have time to raise us timidly. He had to raise us as leaders. We were not, none of us were followers. We were all individuals. He raised us as leaders because we had to know when to say no. That's how my father taught us. He taught us how to change flat. He taught us how to change the oil in our car, give our car a tune-up. At that time, it was spark plug, a gas filter, oil filters, and stuff like that. Sheila, our minister Sheila, loved race cars. She was always somewhere under the hood trying to set the timing on a car. She was always at the track trying to cut the light. You know, that's what Sister Sheila loved. Myself, I always loved motorcycles. So I was always somewhere trying to drag race on a motorcycle or hanging out, seeing if I had the prettiest bike or the loudest pipe. Nowadays, it's the loudest music. Apostle Elect was always, had a vision of traveling around the world. She wanted to always be educated, and she wanted to be able to sit with the kings and the queens. And I always told her we were so different. Well, I would say, Apostle Elect, you could sit with the kings and queens, as like God say, he has a king's heart in his hand. I said, but I could go to the people on the gutter and say, get up from there. You know, I could go and talk to them. Not saying nobody else could do it, but see, it's good when you know who you are and where you are. And that's what our parents taught us, to know who we were. We were the kids of God where he put us. We know whom we were. We were the kids of God where he put us. But we had to acknowledge God in everything. I thank God for my parents. That's all I can say. I remember when my mom passed away. We were sad. I could even say we were broken. But I remember at her funeral, we praised God, because one thing my mother taught us was one day she was going to have to leave here. She wasn't born to stay. But when she left here, all I could say is my family, my entire family knew not only had we lost one of the greatest things that our family had, but we knew that heaven had gained one of the greatest things that our family had. So I can't speak for anybody else's mother or father, and I can't even speak for each one of my sisters or my brother's experience with our mother or father. But one thing I can say, I remember my mom, my dad, as my sisters remember our mom and dad, because like I said, we were all individuals. And we all had different relationships with our parents, because just like we was all born on different days, we all had a different relationship with them. And I thank God for what type of relationship I had, that my parents allowed me to be a tomboy. They allowed me to grow into being a girl. They used to make me wear dresses and heels. And one day I liked them, and I kept them on. You know, I was always a... I always like boys, don't get me wrong. Yes, I do. I always like men, but I was just a tomboy. I love playing sports. I love walking around being ready to play baseball or volleyball or just run or wrestle, whatever we was doing. I always liked doing that. And I thank God for my sisters that each one of them was able to live a different lifestyle. Because when I tell you about a woman of God that was our mother, especially when it came to Apostle Elect, she was in overseas in the Army, and I remember my mom praying and picked up the phone and said, I need to talk to my daughter. She's out in the desert, and I'm going to make them take a phone to her so I can talk to her. I thank God for that woman of God, because she not only taught us, but she showed us what the power of God was like. She showed us what prayer would do and how you needed to pray, and the way you needed to pray. Because, see, a lot of people don't know it's a certain way you go to God. You don't go to him any kind of way. And I thank God for that woman teaching us that. And I thank God for my father having enough sense to sit back, be quiet, and allow her to minister to the household when she needed to. So that's what I have to say on tonight. I'm going to see if Apostle Elect Cecilia and Minister Sheila have any closing words. And if so, I'm going to let them say something. If not, I'm going to ask Apostle Elect to open the lines. If anybody would like to say something, make a comment, or just say, I remember my mom and dad, and we're going to go from there. So, Apostle Elect, are the lines open?
The lines are open.
If anyone would like to have any words, please say something now.
I would just like to say I do thank God for the family that he brought me into. I thank God for my mom, my dad, and all my sisters and brothers and all that he have blessed us to go through, live through, and to learn from. But most of all, I thank him for letting us understand that our life will forever want and have him in, and refuse to let anything, anybody, or even whatever try to take him from us. It's one fight you will never win. God is the awesome, the most honorable Father, and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, the Son, I call my big brother, is the two men in life you can never remove, take over, no match in my life will ever depart me from them. And I thank the life of the bloodline of Christ and the family he have brought me into. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Sheila. Minister Sheila, I'm sorry. Is there anyone else that would like to have any words?
This is Sister again. I would just like to say one of the things I remember my mom always saying and talking about and singing, she would always remind us that you have to be careful because the small things will end up being major things. So, for instance, she sung a song that said, don't let the devil ride, don't let him drive, don't let him do any of that, because if you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. If you let him drive, he's going to want to take you somewhere further than you want to go. And our dad would always tell us that if a man does not shine his shoes and clean his shoes, that tells you a lot about him. So there were some certain things that our parents taught us that I could truly tell you. It really, really was true and is true. That's all I have.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle-elect. Because you know our daddy said if he don't tie his shoes or polish or shine his shoes, he wasn't worth walking in your doorbell, your area. Oh, my God. I thank God for it. So I'm going to say, I'm going to pray tonight. I want to pray us out. God, I thank you. I thank you for tonight, God. I thank you for allowing us to touch and agree. I thank you for allowing us to come together and come before you and tell you how I remember growing up in a saved and sanctified, holy, rolling, tongue-talking household. I thank you for allowing us to share some of our childhood memories and adult memories with the people that's listening. God, I just want to say I thank you for having that type of lineage where I could say my bloodline is definitely a bloodline taught to know that the blood of Jesus Christ covers you and keeps you clean and washes you whiter than snow. God, I ask you to teach these parents that's listening on the line or that will hear these in the archives to whatever they've been going through with their children, to go back and tell them, I'm sorry that I did not know that I needed to be this type of parent. I'm sorry that I did not know I should have been this type of parent. I would like to let every parent know that it's not too late to go to God and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. God, I'm asking you to just cover America, cover every ministry that's a part of this line, this ministry, to cover everybody in my family, Lord, cover my household. God, protect my nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, sisters, my cousins, family, friends, and my God sisters, God brothers, my aunties, uncles. God, I'm just asking you to just bless everybody. Bless this ministry, oh, Lord. I'm asking you to do that in Jesus' name. And it is so. Amen. And don't forget, I want you all to pray for Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser every day. Please pray for her financial strength, because she pours so much into the body of Christ and the people of Christ. I'm actually going to pray to ask God to just take over and open that window up in heaven to bless her above and beyond measure, because I know she gives God the praise. And when his praises go up, we know blessings come down. I'm asking you all to touch and agree with me to pray for Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser. I'm asking you all not to forget Apostle Sandra Thomas. I'm asking you all to just cover her in your prayer. I would like to remind you all, don't forget, next Monday, we will be right back here on Iron Sharpening Iron, Miles 3E, with Prophet Antoine Thomas at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, every Friday, we're right here on the same line with our very own Elder Kathy Kendall, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with God Still Heals. Don't forget, every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, with our very own Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser with Let's Talk. And don't forget our foundation scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So before you go, remember this. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. But one thing don't never be is ashamed to say you save and sanctify and seeking deliverance of God. Because if God is not tired of delivering you, don't you dare get tired of being delivered. Can I get an amen? Amen. And good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.